Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. To those of you who are a bit confused by the information printed in the bulletin, I am not Professor Emeritus Francis Rossau, and I'm sorry. Our text is the reading for today from 2 Timothy, especially the last verse that was read a few minutes ago. As for you, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. So let's talk about ministry. Not just any kind of ministry. Let's talk about complete, fulfilled ministry. And not just any old, complete, fulfilled ministry. Let's talk about your ministry. What does that look like? What is that? How do you do that? Now, I think right off the bat, we contemporary Americans might get a little confused about this phrase, fulfill your ministry. We need to remember that it's not at all the same thing as have a fulfilling ministry. Fulfillment, and especially personal fulfillment, has become one of the great idols of our time. That subjective sense of fulfillment is the satisfaction that I am doing well something worth doing, something that is valuable to myself and to others, the feeling of meaning and purpose that is commonly also affirmed by others around me. That kind of personal fulfillment has been elevated from a happy but occasional experience in life to a standard expectation of what the world owes me, to become, for many of us, almost a new constitutional right. Don't get me wrong. I am not opposed to a sense of self-worth and well-being, but you are not entitled to that feeling of fulfillment. We're so used to stressing that subjective side of the word fulfill that we might misunderstand, you see, what the Apostle Paul is writing to Timothy. Fulfill your ministry is not a guarantee of job satisfaction for pastors. And for God's sake, and I mean that literally, not flippantly, for God's sake, don't fall into the trap of thinking that fulfilling your ministry means following your passion. Unless your passions are a lot purer and holier than mine are. Chances are your passions are a terrible guide. I hope that you love what you do and what you will do in ministry. I hope that you are energized by the ways you get to serve God and His people, but don't daydream that fulfilling your ministry simply means that simply means doing the stuff that you're jazzed about. It would be much clearer and more accurate to say that fulfilling your ministry means following God's passion, doing what He wants done, whether you're particularly excited about it or not. Because your ministry doesn't belong to you. It is what God Himself wants done and assigns you to do. The specific place He puts you, those particular people among whom He plants you, a specific, definite set of responsibilities, large and small, thrilling or mundane, that weave your duty into a specific and distinctive shape. That is your vocation. That is your calling. That is your call. Do that. Fulfill that. Carry out fully what the specific situation and those particular circumstances require. Around here, we talk in really specific technical ways about that. And for us pastors and pastors in training, the starting gun for ministry goes off on call day, the great high festival of our personal ecclesiastical calendar. There are good reasons to concentrate in that technical sense about the public service of the word. We do a lot of that, but you have to know that your service to Christ and to his people is not only defined by some official documents in a brown envelope. The ministry you are supposed to fulfill has already started. He is already your Lord, you know. You are already his servant. By the way, all this talk about preaching the word and fulfilling the ministry, your ministry, might give the impression that we're only talking about pure pastor stuff, and that this text doesn't really apply to you unless you're a pastor or want to be a pastor. It's true that Timothy was what we would call a pastor, although Paul and the other apostles don't really use that term. They use other words for it. Timothy, like Paul, received the assignment to preach and teach the word of God for the benefit of this motley new tribe that God was gathering for himself in Christ. So he was doing that publicly. So yes, pastoral ministry matters, and those of us who are called to it need to listen to what God says so we can help others hear the same message of forgiveness and salvation. And yet it's pretty clear, even here in this pastoral epistle, that people don't just learn the message about Christ from preachers and pastors. The good news of Jesus originally got into Timothy's ears and mind and life and heart when he learned about Jesus from his mom, Eunice, and from his grandma, Lois. Those godly women also fulfilled their ministry. They did what God gave them to do by teaching young Timothy to be a Christian. That's why they're in our window. Second from the left on the bottom. This isn't only pastor stuff. Hearing God's word and then helping other people hear what God says is the diakonia, the service of all God's people. We keep that in mind even when we focus on the specifics of public or pastoral service. Timothy was called to that public ministry, assigned to be a preacher and teacher of a flock of folks who were learning to be followers of Jesus. And this is what Paul tells him it means to fulfill his ministry. Preach the word. You know those scriptures that are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus? Teach others those same scriptures. Preach the very same message that saves a sinner like you so that other sinners can hear it who need a breath of God-breathed good news. Make sure that the same word gets into the ears and heads and lives of people so that the word of God can do for them what it does for you. Your ministry is less about how skillfully you use the word of God and more about how the word uses you to do what God wants to do in people's lives and hearts. The word is able to make you wise for salvation and shows you Jesus so you can put your trust in him. The same word keeps working through you in the evangelist task of showing the same Jesus to other people so they can trust him too. The word uncovers in your life what you need to repent of, and it spins you around and points you to Jesus. And the word keeps doing the same job of rebuking and exhorting and patiently teaching other people who need to hear it just as bad as you do. And they need to hear it from you. That's your ministry. Say what God's word says. Do what God's word does. And keep doing it until you are all used up, until you are spent, until you are poured out like a drink offering. That's what it means to fulfill your ministry. My vicarage supervisor, so this is a story about years and decades ago, my vicarage supervisor once told me about something that happened when he visited his son, who at the time was working for an American company in Saudi Arabia. Now, I suppose there are not many LCMS pastors who have visited Saudi Arabia. It's not one of those countries where you can just show up as a tourist and wander around seeing the sights. If you're a Muslim, you can go to Saudi Arabia on the Hajj. But if you're not a Muslim, you need a good reason to be there. And visiting one of your children who is legally working and living there is a good reason. So my vicarage supervisor visited Saudi Arabia. And as he was checking into his hotel, the registration card had a little blank for occupation. Well, he was worried that this might be a problem in a Muslim country. But he swallowed and he wrote minister. And he was surprised when the hotel immediately upgraded his room to a luxury suite. And it was only later that he realized that they thought he meant he was a high government official, like a finance minister or a defense minister or something. And therefore, deserving VIP treatment. Well, we might wish that our ministry entitled us to perks and special status, complimentary upgrades and extra legroom, and greater respect. Maybe that's one reason that we really like this churchy word ministry instead of plain old service. You and I usually don't use the word minister to mean a high government official. You know, that's American English. We speak American English, and a minister has a distinctively church or religious sound. But maybe we harbor the notion that our ministry kind of makes us a big deal. Some kind of boss. Not the boss, of course. We're humble that way. Not the boss, but definitely inner circle, upper echelon. There's a certain status associated in our minds, but we aren't bosses. We're not a big deal. Jesus is, but we're not. Keeping that clearly in focus helps protect us from being led astray by our personal passion for self-fulfillment, but rather by keeping clearly in focus that Jesus is a big deal and we are not, will help us and help other people know Jesus Christ from the scriptures. And you and I will find joy in being small servants of a great Lord. Amen.